The message for this week is titled, Here Before Creation. The scripture reading is Psalm 139, 13 to 18. You created the deepest parts of my being. You put me together inside my mother's body. How you made me is amazing and wonderful. I praise you for that. What you have done is wonderful. I know that very well. None of my bones was hidden from you when you made me inside my mother's body. That place was as dark as the deepest parts of the earth. When you were putting me together there, your eyes saw my body even before it was formed. You planned how many days I would live. You wrote down the number of them in your book before I had lived through even one of them. God, your thoughts about me are priceless. No one can possibly add them all up. If I could count them, they would be more than the grains of sand. If I were to fall asleep counting and then wake up, you would still be there with me. As we mentioned last week, we're planning to resume meeting together in person on July 12th, 2020 at 10:30 in the morning. We'll be sending out a document this week outlining what to expect when we're back in person together. This letter will be mailed, emailed, posted on Facebook, put up on the church website, and posted in the window at the church building. Please let us know if you don't get a chance to read it. When you arrive, there will be a sign-up sheet for ushers, greeters, cleaners, hosts, and communion presiders. If you're planning to attend, plan to get involved. Video sermons are planned to continue for at least the rest of the summer. The format will change, and they'll be released 1 week following their recording.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. And today might be the last time that I come to you in this way. Our congregation is planning to meet together on Sunday, July the 12th at 10:30. So thank you for hanging in there with us through this way and appreciate the comments that have been made by many people. I want to talk just a sort of an introduction this today about what we're going to be doing on the Sunday that we meet on July the 12th. That when you walk into the building, there'll be a small communion box. It's a little tiny packet that's very sanitized, that has a wafer and some juice that we'll take later on in the worship service. We're going to practice, of course, social distancing all the way through. And as you enter the building, there's a table there with hand sanitizer, and there are different parts in the building. There are different tables where there are hand sanitizing. And then as you walk into the auditorium, there are other tables with hand sanitizing. And then we would just probably escort everyone to a safe place in the pews, practicing social distancing, of course. And then we'll enjoy the worship service. And if you could bring a mask with you, that would be very, very good. No worries if you forget, because there are masks provided in the church for you if you haven't brought one. And then following the service, we will, you know, kind of again practice social distancing on our way out of the building. And then on the parking lot or lawn or whatever, again practicing social distance, we can chat just a little bit if you would like. So we welcome you to be part of that. And if you're not part of our church and you're looking for a church, you'd be more than welcome to be part of that. That's Sunday, July the 12th at 10:30. I want to spend just a little bit of time today talking about the fact that, have you ever considered that before God created anything, that we were already in his mind, that in a unique way, we were here before we were here. Before the creation of the world, before God created anything, he already knew us. It's a phenomenal understanding of the love and the grace of God that we have always existed in his mind. And there are a couple of passages that talk about this, and I just want to share these passages with you. Some of them are familiar to you. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul is talking and he's being questioned by a lot of religious leaders of that time, Paul says these words, and they're profound words, talking about how God knows us and loves us and has always been a step ahead of us, and his strength, his omnipotence, his all knowledge, his his omnipresence, his omniscience, his all power, his all knowing, really is a reminder of how much he loves us by giving us life, by creating us in his all-encompassing love and grace, that before God said, "Let there be," we were already in his mind. Acts chapter 17, here's what Paul says. Paul stood up at the meeting of the Areopagus and he said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you." And these are powerful words. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all people life and breath and everything else. From one person, he made every nation of people that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. And God did this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our very being. As some of your own prophets have said, we are God's offspring." So God is not limited by time, but he has always had us in mind even before the creation of the world. In Genesis 1, in the beginning. But it's pretty amazing to me that we existed before the beginning, that God knew us and that he's poured his love out into our lives on a daily basis. So yes, God is all powerful, omnipotent. Yes, he's all knowing, omniscient. But what he is more than anything else is a God of love and grace who promised us, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you." And even right now, with the pandemic that we're dealing with, it's caused a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, a lot of brokenness, a lot of relationships deteriorating, a lot of real negative things that are taking place. But if we could just remember that God has not left us even for a moment, and looking back in history and seeing some of the horrible things that took place, but God was there in the middle of it. And if you're feeling overwhelmed and you are suffering, God is with you in that suffering. And as Christ suffered on the cross for us many, many years later, as we exist 2,000 years later, God was there at that moment. And he's there at this moment. "In this world, you will have trouble," Jesus said. "But take heart, I've overcome the world." Which seemed to be the weakest, lowest moment of his life became the greatest success for us, because on the cross, our sins are forgiven. It's his blood that was sacrificed for our forgiveness. So yes, we're living in very difficult times right now, worldwide. And worldwide brings us together in the sense that we're all experiencing the same thing. In some regions, it's a pandemic that's run rampant. But if we can come together remembering that God has not abandoned us, He knew us before we were born. He knows us now. Well, there's another passage of scripture that was written thousands of years before Paul said what he said in Acts chapter 17. And this is a very familiar passage, and it's a profound passage. Psalm 139. And here's what is said in speaking to God. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. And then in verse 7, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And then, based on the pandemic that we're dealing with now, I think verse 11 and 12 are pretty important. If I say, surely the darkness hides me, and the light becomes dark all around me, even the darkness is not dark to you, for darkness is light to you. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. He already knew us before we were born. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 23 where he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And of course he does. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And it's interesting that the psalmist ends that way because he sort of answers his own plea asking God, because we just read what God is doing. He is in us. He knows us. He searches us. He knows our heart. He's never abandoning us. He knew us before we were born. So I go back to my introduction today. Before we were here, we were here. We were always in the mind of God. We existed before Adam and Eve in the mind of God. God knew the exact times, the exact places where we would live. So if you're living a victorious life and everything around you is wonderful and great, God bless you. Thank the Lord for it. And if you're going through a very difficult time, maybe broken relationships and maybe financial problems and maybe living with COVID yourself, God has not abandoned you. He is beside you. He's beside you in victory. He's beside you in suffering. He's beside you in happiness. He's beside you in sadness. God, not even for one moment, will ever leave you, because you have been in his mind even before the creation of the world, and you will always be on his mind. You are loved. God is all-powerful, omnipotent. God is all-knowing, omniscient. But that's not his strength. His strength is his love and grace. And you have that in abundance by him. God bless you. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.
Good morning or good afternoon, whatever the case may be for you. And welcome to this time of communion. Our God is a pure and perfect God. God and sin cannot live in unity. They can't live together. And for that reason, Jesus died to take away our sins so that we would be forgiven for our sins. Because our sins are gone, we can be one with God. Jesus came to take our sins and to fill the emptiness with His Holy Spirit. He is the source of our life, not just our life that we're breathing and or have a heart beating, but the life that we have in unity with Him. And He is the source of our abundant life. He filled us with His light, the light that shines in the darkness and will never be extinguished. He fills us with God's power by His death. And there's a verse that says, "The power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which God used when He raised Christ from death and seated Him at His right side in the heavenly world." That's from Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to Me will never be hungry, and those who believe in Me will never be thirsty." We have an inner fullness and inner lack of hunger for what could be better. And then he said, "He who trusts in, relies on, and clings to Me has eternal life." And then he says later on, eternal life means to know the only true God and to know Jesus Christ whom He sent. And we know God and know Him intimately because of Christ's death and because of forgiveness for our sins. I had an unusual dream this week. I dreamt that we were on a cliff and we were driving along the edge of a cliff, and then there was an extremely sharp, sharp turn, and Ed was driving and he went around the turn, and then he realized it was too sharp and he couldn't get around, so he decided to back up and try again. And then we were going down, down, down over this cliff. And as we were going down, I just said, "God, I know things aren't going to be the same, but whatever happens, I fully trust in You." And after that, it just seemed like I was just floating, and it was so beautiful, and it was beautiful to be falling, and it was a beautiful feeling. And this reminds me of Isaiah 40, verse 31. "Those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not grow weak." And I think we have the power to have that strength because we trust in the Lord and because Christ forgave us of our sins and we can be one with God. And so at this time, I'm flipping through my Bible here, I'm sorry. At this time, I would like us to pray for the bread and for the grape juice or the wine. And before we pray, let's just read one more verse. "Those who eat My flesh and drink My blood will live in Me, and I will live in them. Whoever eats Me will live because of Me. Those who eat this bread will live forever." And dear God, thank You so much for giving us Jesus, and thank You for His body and for His blood, and thank You for the body that gives us the food that we need so that we can have life and have it abundantly, and so that we can soar on wings like eagles. And thank You for the blood that fills us with the energy and with everything that we need to live at one with You. And thank You for all that You do for us, and thank You for the opportunity to take this bread and this wine at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you to Don and Rhonda for their words, and to Kristen, who will close us in prayer in a moment. Please keep an eye on your inbox and your mailbox this week for our reopening letter. Please keep our congregation's leadership in your prayers, as well as those who are sick or lonely or isolated.
Dear Father, thank you for the beautiful days that you give us. Thank you for the fruits and the vegetables and the food on our table. Thank you for the love of our friends and the communion together with our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness and for your grace. We know that we don't deserve it, but we are so grateful that you love us so much. We thank you, God, for being with us each step of the way. Even though sometimes the future looks uncertain, we know that you never leave us. You never leave our side. You pursue us. You pursue us with your love. We thank you for all that you give us, for all the blessings, and for all the love that showers over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.